Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis, Karen Financial Survival for Monday, the 18th day of August, year of our Lord, 2014. Greg Hunter will be our guest today from USAWatchdog.com. We'll be bringing Greg on in the next few minutes. First, we're going to do the market report, and then we'll see how soon we can get Greg on the line. Where are we? Let's take a look and see. The price of gold is down $6.40 today to $1,299.10 per ounce. It appears that the powers that be are determined to keep gold somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 or $1,300 per ounce for some period of time. It falls a little lower, it gets a little higher, but it does seem to center on $1,300 per ounce, and we'll see how long that can be sustained. Silver is up 2 cents to $19.68 per ounce. Platinum is down 14 bucks to $1,444 per ounce. Palladium is up a buck to $897 per ounce. As long as we're talking about those kinds of quantities, why don't we talk about crude oil, which is down 85 cents to $96.50 per barrel. Right, that's a little bit more than an ounce, but still, it's a volume. We get into the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 51 points to 16,662. NASDAQ is up 36 points to 4,501. New York Stock Exchange is up 77 points to 10,873. U.S. Dollar Index is up 0.15 to 81.57, which is one of those things where you look at it and you wonder, what's making the dollar, what rational factors can there be to make the dollar go up? We are faced with crises around the globe. And you would think that the dollar should be, the gold is what should be going up rather than holding stable in the neighborhood of $1,300 an ounce. And the dollar should, if anything, be going down. But it is possible and even, it's possible and even plausible that the dollar is going up because whatever problems we think we have in this country, people perceive that they have even greater problems in foreign countries, and therefore they flee their own country's currency in order to gain the apparent stability that is still associated with the dollar, the fiat dollar. That's foolishness, in my opinion, but nevertheless, it appears it may be the way the world is functioning right now. I don't think that's a total explanation for the rise in the U.S. dollar index, but it's at least a credible explanation, and it may be true. Let me see if we have Greg Hunter is on the line yet. Frank, is Greg on the line yet, or am I still doing the program au naturel? Insofar as I'm not being told, apparently Greg is not yet here. Three more minutes before I can get Greg. Boy, we should have started. This is Frank, the producer that I'm talking to by instant message over the program. He's in charge of getting the guest on here at the right time. And it appears that he has failed. Frank has failed this. And you know, Frank, you could have started the program 3 minutes late. If we'd started the program for 3 minutes late, then everything would work out exactly right. But no, he had to start the program on time, and so I have to now figure out something to talk about for the next 3 minutes until our guest gets on the line. Let's just take a look. Fred is tapering. Here's one of the articles that we see. U.S. economic expansion that began in mid-2009 has hit the five-year mark. But if you calculate for the second quarter 2009, real GDP grew just 2.2% a year. This year, the second quarter grew at an annualized rate of 4% following a 2.1% contraction for the first 3 months of the year, and it's unlikely that it really grew at a 4% rate in the second quarter. That will be revised downward, and no telling how far down it'll go. It'll go down at least to 3% in my opinion. And it won't surprise me if it goes down to 2%, in the vicinity of 2% before this is all over. With that scenario in mind, is Fed talk of tightening the monetary policy next year jumping the gun? Paul Schatz, president of Heritage Capital, thinks so. He argues that it's important the economy fully recovers before there's a tightening. In other words, he doesn't want to see the interest rates go up, and he doesn't want to see quantitative easing stopped. The mistake is that governments make after a first recession, the minute the light in the tunnel is clear, they start raising rates. My argument is that GDP growth back to 4% or higher is not going to be seen until we get through one more mild recession. Schatz is expecting another recession as early as 2015 or 2016. Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting opinion, of course. But what do you folks think? Do you anticipate that we're going to see another recession in 2015 or 16? Or is it fair to even believe that we have terminated the recession that started in 2008? Did that recession really end? Or has it just been ongoing for the whole time? We're going to get into subjects like that in just a few moments. Here, Greg Hunter is on the line. And Greg Hunter, of course, is the mastermind behind USAWatchdog.com. Greg has achieved a great deal of respect from rounding up some of the best interviews, video interviews that you're going to find on the Internet. He's done really a wonderful job. He's got a number of people that appear regularly and intelligently on his USAWatchdog.com, and certainly he's to be congratulated for the work he's done in achieving these kinds of results. Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show. I really appreciate you having me on, really.
Well, we definitely appreciate having you on here, and I connect once in a while. I link up to some of your videos on my little blog and whatever. And it's really true. I can't think of anyone who's doing a better job at getting critical and important interviews than you are right now. So,
I appreciate it. I was listening to your comments about the guy saying we're going to keep. And listen, this printing of money is what this is. On computers, I mean, that's what it really is. We're propping up the banking system. That's what the real story is. And in order for this to continue to work, the rest of the world has to keep trading our dollars. They have to keep accepting our dollars for trade. in order for this to work, and we should have gone to receivership back in 2008 with these banks. The shareholders should have taken a giant whopping killing. The bondholders should have taken a giant whopping haircut. All the bank heads who got us into this should not only be fired, they should have been prosecuted for fraud. And we should have used our tremendous money printing ability to pad the banking system. I wrote a piece about this called the default option. At the time, it would have cost us, I don't know, $6 trillion. How much did this cost me? What did Wendell Ray at the University of Kansas City peg it at late 2011? $29
trillion? Yeah.
And it's not fixed?
And going up.
And we have debauched the currency, and this is what Ferguson's about. Let me tell you what Ferguson's about. Listen, this is I don't know how, what happened. I don't know how it is that a police officer shot a black kid unarmed 6 times. I don't know if he was charging him. I saw the autopsy schematics, and he was shot in the top of the head, which is bizarre. Was he falling down? Was he charging? I don't know what happened. But what I really think this is that people's money isn't going as far. There's not 2% on that street inflation. Nobody in the street says, you went and asked, you think the inflation rate annually is 2%? They go, no. No, it's not 2%. Because it's not. The grocery store's not 2%. The gas pump's not 2%. Although we're having a little sell-off in distillates and oil and right now it's still floating around $100 a barrel. But this is about the ascertainment of commodities, of things you need to live. And then the money that people are getting, whether it's their job or EBT cards or their, you know, there's no real good jobs. We need lots of training. We don't have any of that. And I think that's what this is in Ferguson. I think this is the lower end of the, and not just black people, white people too, but this is the lower end of the socioeconomic stratification. There.
Then you don't see this as a black against white issue per se. This isn't even a racial issue per se.
Jesse Jackson wants it to be, because he gets paid on racism. And why doesn't Jesse Jackson, and I'm not racist, there's not a racial bone in my body, but let's just talk facts. I mean, Chicago this month, when I look at 14 gun murders this month in Chicago and 90 wounded, and according to the FBI, we do not have a white on black crime problem in America. 90% of black people are shot by other black people. 90% of white people are shot by other white people. We don't have what they're saying we have. And the universe of white cops shooting unarmed black kids has got to be a pretty infinitesimally tiny universe.
Well,
it's not
makes
like this
good
happens
show
every
good.
Week.
No, I understand.
And So this is a lot more than, and then plus, you know, they've rolled out the militarization of the police forces. They have, you know, vehicles that you would see on the streets in Afghanistan or Iraq there. They have, body armor, helmets, fully automatic weapons. And I think the government is scared to death. I said this in my weekly news wrap up. Now, I think they're scared to death about what's called continuity of government. They want, them and their cronies allowed this to happen. If they'd have had regulation, if they'd have regulated derivatives, they'd have regulated the banks, if they'd have prosecuted the bankers, we would have never had this. This is about money at its core.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Do you think most people tend to suppose that what the government did relative to the bankers was done as a favor to their cronies? Do you think that was their primary motivation?
Not a single one of them has been caught. Who does prosecution in America?
That does provide some sort of protection for the great unwashed who are going to be badly hurt. Which way do you think it goes primarily? I'm sure both are true.
Well, listen, they haven't prosecuted a single banker for what are obvious. I mean, at one point, Mayor Bloomberg, although they didn't do anything wrong. Really? Really? They paid fines for laundering money for drug cartels. They paid fines at least two or three, four. I mean, USA Today did a story about it. AAP did a story about five or six or seven banks that were laundering money for, you know, people on the terror list, Sudan, Iran. I mean, this is the State Department's terror list. What do you think, they are terrorists or not? So you don't go to jail for that, but Snowden does. Snowden, they want to lock him up. But laundering money for drug cartels and terrorists, that'd be HSBC. They have an American branch here. That would be Deloitte Consulting that helped Standard Chartered do that. They paid a fine. They got a year ban from the securities industry. So what do you have to do to go to jail? If you don't go to jail for laundering money for terrorists, what would it take for
probably to shoot a black teenager? If the bankers shoot any black teenagers, we may have to put them in jail. But I'm not so sure.
This may not work out good. What happens if this black teenager was charging the cop and he? I don't know. I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Right now, it's apparent that the black teenager is not completely innocent in this matter. It appears that he was shot in the front, not the back, at least according to some reports I've seen.
Well, he got shot in the top of the head, according to what they put out. They had Baden, the famous forensic guy, to come in. And yeah. How did he get shot in the top of the head? Was he shot forward?
Was he charging the cop?
What was he doing?
I've heard a report that he was getting away from the cop car, and then he turned and came back and charged the cop car, and that's the point where the shooting took place. And I don't know that to be true, but if he was charging, good chance his head was down.
Well, it wasn't a controlled shooting, because if it was a controlled shooting, he'd either trained to shoot once and stop twice and stop three. They don't shoot. They don't unload six or eight shots out of their magazine.
This guy was a big boy. He was allegedly a big. I'm not sure what his actual size was, but I'm.
I don't know what happened. I don't really want to focus on that.
There's a good chance you're not going to say, "Gee, I'll fire one, and if that doesn't stop him within 90 seconds, I'll fire another one." You got to understand.
Listen, let me tell you what's always worked for me.
You're that big. You intimidate people. You can expect.
Let me tell you what's always worked for me. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Nobody's ever drugged me out of a car. Whatever you say. Here's my license. Here's my reservation. You want to look? Sure, fine. Go ahead. Go up there. Let me pop the trunk for you. Boink. Sure, fine. You have your dog crawl over. Whatever. It's fine. I don't care. It's fine. We're good. I mean, that's always worked for me. Yes, ma'am.
You're just not as adventurous.
Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am.
You're not as adventurous as some people are, Greg.
That's always worked for me. I've never been whacked in the head by a police officer, and I don't know. But anyway, I want to focus on the bigger picture, the militarization of the police, and why are they so angry? Why? I think this is ultimately going to be a fight over commodities, over supplies, over what you need to sustain life. This is going to get ugly. And what happens when your money goes to zip? Look at Argentina.
That's a good question. In fact, I wanted to get into that before the program was done, just to ask you, is Argentina merely an example of what can happen, or is Argentina a domino that might ultimately affect South America, even the United States, maybe even the global economy, just an example?
The banking system is interconnected, and I don't care whether it happens in Portugal or in California or Argentina. I mean, you don't know who has what leverage. Here's why this is so murky. And I'll tell you this story at CNN in 2000. I was in the same room because I started doing stuff about the economy. I was fascinated by it. All they ever did was just fraud and rip-off stories. I did investigative work, whatever. And I started getting to the economy because I was fascinated about how it didn't sound right to me. I mean, what do you mean this will only affect subprime? What do you mean that the economy is good? Everything I'm reading, the data I'm looking at is the economy's not good. The housing's bad. This is in 2007. And so in 2007, they were having a meeting right off my desk at Fortune magazine, Fortune and CNN Money. So I was there, and I stood up in the meeting and said, hey, the derivatives market, $600 trillion. That's according to the Bank of International Settlements. These are financial writers. This is Fortune magazine.
Yeah.
This is CNN Business. This is the CNN Money arm, right? I said, where is that traded? That's right, silence. I said, this is not a trick question. The Bank of International Settlements, you can Google it. This was back in 7. It said it was $600 trillion. It's actually probably double that. It's way higher than that. But let's just use this Bank of International Settlements. I mean, if I owe you $5 million or $10 million, does it make any difference if I can't pay it?
Let's take a break for some personal announcements. And when we come back, we will explore where are the derivatives traded? Traded, or even some people say as many as 2 quadrillion today.
There you go.
Where are they trading? I'm Alfred Adams here on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Got a special today of MS63, $20 St. Gaudens coin. That would be 1 ounce of gold, 1 ounce silver eagle, shipping included, $1,565, $1,565. All right. Minted from 1907 to 1933, the $20 St. Gaudens coins were the crucial building blocks of expanding U.S. financial power in the early 20th century. And in Mint State 63 condition, they combine a beautiful design, true scarcity, large gold content, and a low price. $1,565, and that includes a free 1 ounce silver eagle. Give Discount Gold and Silver a call at 1-800-375-4188. 1-800-375-4188. Our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Again, just spectacular interviews, time after time. We are talking to Greg about derivatives, and Greg posed a very interesting question. There are, according to some reports, as many as $2 quadrillion worth of derivatives floating around the world right now. Billions, billions, trillions, and after trillions, we get quadrillions. And some people think there may be that many in derivatives. Where's the market?
A billion is 1,000 million. A trillion is 1,000 billion. We're talking about, just use the Bank of International Settlements number. It's around 600. 700. I mean, let's just use that number. I mean, let's just use the Bank of International Settlements, the BIS number, and say, a lot of people say it's 2 to 3 times that. But let's just say that. Okay? So I asked this question, where is that market traded?
Yeah.
A public market. Where is it traded? Nothing. Silence. This is not a trick question, y'all. Is it traded? More silence. Wow, we're missing a huge story. We've got a $600-700 trillion market. We don't know where it's traded. And here is the answer to that. There is no public market. Let's grasp that. Well, what does that mean? So let's say I want to go to the Chicago Board of Trade. It's a public market. And I want 1,000 bushels of corn. Can they stick 200 bushels of wheat if they run on short, just mix it in? Can they do that? Can they do that?
No.
The answer is no. If it doesn't make weight correctly, can they just add some ball bearings in there? Can they just throw some metal in there and then give me a truckload of beans and some metal in the bottom? Can they do that?
Nope, not legally.
No. Why not? Why can't they do that? Oh, that's right. There are rules and regulations for good delivery. There's guarantees. There are standards. Okay, now let's move over to the derivatives market. And this should scare the heck out of anyone listening to this. There's no public market for derivatives. Please let that sink in. Oh, that means there's no standards. There are no guarantees. There are no regulation. There are no, oh, it can be, what makes a good derivative? Anything that you can get somebody to buy. Mortgage-backed securities. Oh, they're AAA. Really, that's another huge fraud. They weren't AAA, as we now know. They're not AAA. They're toxic, according to the government, toxic, and the Fed's still buying the stuff. I don't know, 10 or 15, you know, billion a month or whatever it is they're buying off the bank's books to continually prop them up.
Well, let me ask you this.
Now, you know the size of the market is enormous. And the derivative market, there is no regulation. There's no cop on the beat. There are no, I bought insurance. This debt on my books is I'm going to count that as an asset. Oh, and I've got insurance. I've offloaded the risk in a credit derivative. Really? That's like having insurance from Moe's Insurance Company. He's got $3, but he's insuring, you know, $3 million worth of stuff. Is that a good insurance contract? You're going to find out as soon as you need it.
Well, let me ask you this.
That's the problem. The problem is that all these banks and this daisy, you don't need a big move to wipe out your capital. You don't need a big move. You need 1% or 2%. I mean, this is what you need to wipe out
because
your capital.
Because it's leveraged.
Because of leverage. Massive leverage. Massive, unbelievable leverage. Just unbelievable. Well, they won't let that happen. Yeah, just like they didn't want that to happen in 2008.
If the market for derivatives is not public, what's the rationale? Will the public be held liable if this market...
Of course they will. That's what already happened. What do you think all the money printing was?
I understand, but there is at least an irony and even a legality. If we can't play in the market, how come we get held accountable for it?
Well, who is at the top of this market? Who is going to try to hold on to the continuity of government? The same people that allowed this to happen. And to the government's good, now let me go to the government's good, because I like to be even-handed about all this. So let's say that you've seen that Quick Trip store down there, and it's just completely gutted, it's looted, it's, I don't know if they lit it on fire or whatever it is. There's nobody working there, right?
Yep.
And so imagine the 5 or 6 employees they had. Well, oh, they're no longer paying FICA and state and federal taxes. And, oh, they're not no longer pumping gas out there on those pumps. No sales tax for anything in there. No goods coming in and out of that store. Now multiply that times 1 million. What do you have? You got Mad Max.
Yeah.
Shotgun shells and water become worth more than gold and silver.
hard to believe.
And that's what I think their biggest fear is. Could you imagine going to? I had some lady go, "Well, they're thinking about not having my bank open. Do you think I'm at risk?" Listen, if you think that you're going to have complete access to your money forever, you're living in a paradigm of yesteryear. I mean, you might as well get out, you know, Archie and your Archie records and your Venus records and you know, you should be looking, you know, at Apocalypse Now and looking back and really, you know, yes, back in the day, yeah. Listen, there's so much leverage in the system. You know, I mean, J.P. Morgan has an unbelievable amount of leverage. I don't know, 35 or 40 times its capital. I don't know. It's a huge amount. Goldman Sachs has, you know, hundreds of times its capital leveraged. You think we're going to let those all go under next time?
I think we're going to have
to. What happens if they do? The FDIC has, I'm only going to use rough numbers. They have about $40 to $50 billion in insurance money, and they got $10 trillion in deposits. How are you going to get your money? What insurance? That's the same scam as all this other stuff is, mm-hmm. isn't it? And not a single insured account has ever been lost, but that record's going to be broken. And what happens if they had to print the money to give you your money?
Well, the value of the currency will become zero practically.
Bing, bing, bing.
90% or more, and you'll get your money, but it's like you're getting monopoly money rather than spendable money.
And let's go back to the original thing about how this goes on. How this goes on is, why do you think all the BRICS countries are shunning the dollar? I mean, they know we got this QE. They know that, we're tapering it. Oh, that's right. And yeah, Euro clear buying bonds in Belgium. Right, I understand that, sure. And we can't really inspect the Fed's balance sheet. We have no idea what they did. We'll have to take their word. It's $4.4 trillion or whatever it is. You know, we just have to take their word because, you know, back when they were pumping all this out, they said it was only $3 trillion, and it was $16.2 trillion, according to the one-time audit from Bernie Sanders' office that stuck it into the FinReg bill. We found out it was $16 trillion. You think they stopped doing that kind of stuff, or do you think they're still doing it? And now you can't even audit it. What do you think's going on?
I would say they. Who can tell me what the truth of the matter is? What the true numbers are?
Therein lies the problem.
You won't get it from government. I don't believe that for a minute. I wouldn't believe them, no matter what number they come up with. Who is going to tell me the truth?
And part of this militarization of all this ammunition, which, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS won't touch it, even though they got sitting senators in off, you know, several months ago said, they're buying it up to keep it away from the public. And I think that we're at a point now where you start to see ammunition back. People don't have any dang money. And so in the stores. And so I'm saying that what I think the government is scared of is, you know, Ferguson multiplied all over America. Your bank accounts are closed. Yeah. You can't get into we've changed the rules on money market. You sold your stocks. We put you into the treasury market, though. We're not going to give you that money. We'll put you in a good, safe 10-year treasury. It pays, you know, 2.2%. And you can sell it in 8 years. We'll let you sell it 2 years early. And people don't even understand. So I ask this all the time. About half the time I get people going, no. Do you owe the $17.5 trillion? You think you owe it? No, really? Okay, so you get to keep all your retirement money while the USS Saratoga or Ronald Reagan sits out in the Arabian Sea floating up and down like a cork without any fuel or ammunition or stuff. Is that, you think you keep your retirement money? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Government employees are going to be some of the first to be really devastated by this situation. I don't think they expect this, but I think they're going to be among the first victims when this thing breaks down. They're going to say, "Where's my pension?" And they're going to say, "Yeah, we'll get it to you." Yeah,
in the treasury market.
Yeah. What have you done for us lately? If you're retired and you haven't done anything for us lately, goodbye.
Well, and here's what
we'll get to you in a couple of years.
This is going to be the ugly side of people being oblivious to our government with all this debt. And the debt, and what we did was we basically ruined our currency to make sure with all the derivatives we bailed out these banks. And we kept them from going under, you know, the biggest banks. But you know, this is like Poland in 1939 because of trench warfare of World War I. Boy, they had the fastest cavalry in the world to outflank trench warfare, and we had the fastest cavalry in the world. And you know, of course, that didn't do much with Hitler's mechanized Blitzkrieg army, right? So you're always fighting your last war. So you're like, should I take my money out of the bank? You're not understanding this. You're not getting this. It's not the banks. It's the money in the banks that's going to be the value. It's going to be the problem. It's like having the best cavalry in the world in Poland in 1939. You're fighting the last war, and the last war is the Great Depression. And, boy, I need to get my money out of the bank. And I think Bob Moriarty at 321 Gold, who came up with this little theory a few years ago, and I keep quoting it, and I like telling that it's from Bob Moriarty at 321 Gold. And he says, you know, you wrote a little piece, a little primer on cash. And he said, you know, I know people are going to be mad because he has a site called 321 Gold. And he says, I know people are going to be mad, but I want to tell you, cash is going to work really good for a short amount of time. I don't know if it's 3 weeks or 3 months or 6 months, but not much more than 9 months, but cash is going to work really good for a short amount of time. And what I keep gleaning from my guests, you know, like Jim Rickards and people like that, he doesn't mention stocks or bonds. He does mention cash and gold and tangibles, artwork, land, farmland, you know, own your house. I mean, Jim Rickards, you know, this is a banker's banker. And he's not telling, oh, you should load up on stocks for the long term and bonds too. Nope, that ain't what he's saying. He was also employed by the Pentagon to be the quarterback of their financial war team at one point a few years ago. So he's a smart guy. And, you know, what he talks about is, you know, getting stuff in your direct control and owning tangible stuff and, of course, gold and silver. But he also mentioned cash, which, you know, people, if you go, and I think the reason why, if you walk out right now, Alfred, and you say, hey, here's a little 10th ounce of gold. Would you give me $40 for this? Which would be a deal, right?
Absolutely.
Would you give me $40 for this? They go, oh, no, give me 50. Anyway, I'll let you have this for $50. Would you give me $50 for this 10th ounce? Oh, no, get out of here. Right?
Yeah.
That's what would happen. But because what people don't, they don't understand it. They will eventually, but they don't understand it. They do not understand it at all.
One of the things that crosses my mind about cash is this. Anyone who's looked at the Depression, the Great Depression, to any degree, you've stumbled across the phrase, cash is king. And during the Great Depression, if you had any cash, you could do just about anything you wanted with it because people were so broke. If you had $5 in your wallet, you were a relatively rich man. Plus, the cash was becoming more valuable. And we look back and we assume we're talking about paper cash, and to some degree we are. But during the Great Depression, the cash was backed by gold up until 1933, and it was backed by silver throughout. The cash that was king wasn't paper. It was gold and silver, although it was backed. The paper was backed by gold. They lost track of that, but the cash during the Great Depression that was king was gold and silver. Wasn't paper. It was paper backed by gold and silver.
Correct.
We don't have that anymore, and there's a good
chance
if we see cash as king, it'll be gold and silver in the next Depression.
Well, you need some of it. I mean, I think you need a little bit of everything. I think you need water.
I agree.
You need
I
food.
Agree. There's
I think
no
you
guarantee.
Need, you know, if you need a safe place to live. You need some place where somebody can't just walk in one day and say, hey, I'm selling the place, you know, for cash. I don't know. I think you need a lot, and I think it's going to be hard to prepare on the fly. You're not going to be able to prepare, and a lot of people are in this paradigm where they think that everything, it'll be okay. It'll be a little bumpy. We've had this bad stuff. No. This is a whole different change. This is the end of the dollar world reserve currency, and that's going to be in a world where, you know, how do we print all this money for all these people coming across the border? How do we print
all
this money for all these people that aren't working?
At what point do they finally just realize that it's trash? I mean, they had signs in Zimbabwe where they said don't use the Zimbabwe dollar for toilet paper because it doesn't dissolve in the sewer and it clogs the sewer up. The people reached the point where they understood the Zimbabwe dollars were just good toilet paper.
Yeah.
When that moment happens, what do you do then? How do you convince people that your fiat dollars, no matter what country you're printing on, are worth something? I've got one other thing I wanted to say, just to add before we take a break here. Got a minute or so before we take a break. Saw an article about 10 days ago, saw a couple of them, matter of fact, that referenced a survey by the Federal Reserve. It was attributed to the Federal Reserve where, according to the survey, they calculated that 52% of the American people, if they are faced with an emergency that costs $400 or more, 52% either had to sell some of their personal belongings or borrow money in order to deal with that emergency.
Ferguson, Missouri, all over the country.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Ferguson, Missouri,
Man doesn't
no
have
matter what, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, This is not Ferguson, Missouri, just based on African Americans. This is this is America. This is the indebtedness of America. We don't even teach basic finance in grade school. Why? Why don't we do that?
And we don't teach law. We want people ignorant. They're easier to exploit. They don't know the law. They don't understand money. They don't understand financial affairs. That makes them ignorant and vulnerable and easily exploited. And we'll talk about this some more when we return. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter, from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Addisk, and this is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I want to remind you we're having a special MS63 $20 St. Gaudens plus 1 ounce Silver Eagle, shipping included, $1,565. All right? You can't hardly beat the deal. The Mint State 63 combines beautiful design through scarcity, large gold content, and low prices. $1,565. That includes a free 1 ounce Silver Eagle. Give Discount Gold and Silver a call at 1-800-375-4188. I'm here with my guest, Greg Hunter, and we have been talking about the problems in Ferguson and what they indicate as a large, not just as an isolated event, but what they are telling us about the whole country. And the implication is what we're seeing in Ferguson, you may see if you're living in a major metropolitan area, you could see it down the street before, who knows. How soon do you think we might see this kind of problem?
Well, listen, Alfred, the rest of the world is making plans. Again, people are delusional. Our own government is delusional. The guy you were quoting when you first started out saying, oh, they should keep doing QE until that only works if the rest of the world accepts it. and keeps continuing to buy and sell oil in dollars, which I'm not sure. Saudi Arabia, there's going to be another change. When they come up and say, you know, we've decided that we're going to sell oil in yuan and euro and dollars. Oh, oh boy, howdy. But people have no idea how many dollars have been printed electronically and are out there that will come flooding home. And, you know, people have no idea the amount of inflation. You know, John Williams thinks that this dollar sell-off, there's at least $16 trillion in liquid dollar assets, bonds or liquid dollar assets, held outside the country. I mean, how much of that has to be sold into the market before you have a complete dollar rout? How much of that has to be? How much would the Fed have to monetize to buy?
Won't even get to it. If it gets started, it won't get to the full amount. If it just gets started,
then we'd have to default, and then now we're living within our means. EBT card's gone.
Yeah.
You know, all these people paid not to work because you're disabled, gone. I'm sure there's real disabled people, too, but I'm sure there's some that aren't. I'm sure there's people very needful of, EBT cards, but I'm sure there's plenty that are not. And then what do you have? Then you have really basically it's going to come down to a fight over resources. And this idea, and I'm not a Democrat, but this idea, I mean, their financial plan is to, you need to pay us some of your profits, and we need to spread that around. Oh, and we need to raise the minimum wage. That's it? That's your financial plan. That's your plan.
Yeah.
How sad is that? I mean, to hear Elizabeth Warren talk, we need to raise, it's one of the 10, we need to raise the minimum wage. Really? No, labor should get paid commensurate with the market and your skill. Period. The end. Period.
But what can we do? We've painted ourselves into a corner by adopting a fiat currency. And from my perspective, irrational things we're seeing right now are an inevitable consequence. And we can't back out of it. We can't just say,
break it down.
We're going to give up fiat. We're going to go back to gold and silver tomorrow at noon. That's not going to happen.
As simple as we can. And this is as simple as we can. We are living way beyond our means. Way.
Yeah.
I mean way.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can do that because they buy and sell oil in dollars and they still accept our printed money. And, you know, part of the military industrial complex is to back up the dollar. I hate to say it. I'm not anti-American. I love the country. But I will say that part of the big militarization in America, part, is they cannot have every store and factory burned to the ground. We have Mad Maxville. They can't allow that to happen. And the other thing is that, according to the Justice Department.
How can they stop it?
You know, the communists and the Black Panther movement is in Ferguson. The communists loving this, going, oh, capitalism doesn't work. Man, we'll give you something. We'll give you, communism. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Communism is blossoming in America.
No, I know.
That's because we didn't do what we needed to do to police there. You can't have this libertarian view of, we shouldn't have any regulation at all. Yeah, fine. No regulation, but if you get in trouble, you're going to bankruptcy. There's your regulation. You're going to go into bankruptcy. And I'm telling you what, every one of these big banks should have been taken to receivership, and every one of its top officers should have been prosecuted for criminal fraud. I mean, how much criminal fraud do you – what does it take to prosecute a big banker? You can launder money for drug cartels and you can launder money for terrorists and you don't go to jail? And so nothing that these guys – Jared Holder said earlier this year, late last year, no bank is too big to jail. Really? Show me one. No, really? And the problem is you can't have it both ways. You can't have unbridled, no regulation, do whatever you want, and then unbridled, we're not going to prosecute anybody and, any of our campaign donors. And therein lies the problem. That's why we have this problem. It's ultimately going to be a fight over resources. It's going to be a fight over money, real money. They don't want gold and silver in the hands of people. That's gold and silver, and that's real money in the hands of people. They want digital currency where they can, you said what? Oh, we're going to cut your bank account off. So this is going to be a fight over resources. That's really what you're seeing now. You're going to see a fight over resources. And wait until we have a banking holiday, and the president will come on, and he'll say it won't be his fault. I mean, this is a huge problem that started. But part of it would be his fault, just like part of it's Bush's fault, and part of it's Clinton's fault, and part of it's 41's fault. And we go down from there. You know, it's all part of everybody's fault. And he's going to come on one Sunday night and say, wow, we've had a hacking, or tomorrow we're going to have a banking holiday. We're closing the banks for your protection. We're going to suspend payment of bills. Sorry that you can't get it. It was Cyprus moment. I mean, we're going to have a Cyprus moment. People are going to, because when people are totally unprepared, otherwise there wouldn't be $10 trillion in a banking system that has $50 billion in insurance. And I'm going to say 50. It's not that much. Let's say 50. That's like having an insurance company, with $50 writing $10,000 in policies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that is. And people, I have no idea. Well, it's, and we've been talked into that debt is money. I mean, when you take and slide your credit card at the gas pump, and fraudsters would do this. If they got a credit card, they would go by a gas station. They'd see if they would trip it through, see if they could open it. Now you got to put your zip code in and all that, so it's harder to do that than ever. But when you slide your bank credit card to a gas pump or to a turnstile at the grocery store or at Kohl's or at Target or whatever, you're not borrowing money. You're creating money and you're paying it back plus interest. And we've been talked into that debt is money. We don't have capitalism anymore. This is not capitalism.
The problem we have is not just that we don't have capitalism. Part of the consequence of using that fiat currency is
we don't have capital.
That's the problem.
That's right.
If this thing breaks down, in the Old Testament, they had a jubilee every 50 years and they canceled out all the debt, and people think that's a great idea. Pardon me? The jubilee was 50, my understanding. In 7 years, they had the land went fallow every 7 years, and they stopped that. But every 50 years, they had a jubilee, and they canceled all the debt. Well, it's not a problem because they had tangible assets.
Yes.
And all it meant is that if I owed you $5,000 on the jubilee, the $5,000 that I owed you, I don't owe you anymore. But the $5,000 is still in their local economy. It might have been in the form of gold, might have been in the form of cattle, but the money is still there. It's just changed owners, and it's not that big a problem. If we lose the debt, the money disappears.
We
don't just sit back and say, ha-ha, we canceled the debt. You can't cancel debt
without canceling money.
Trillions of dollars of paper perceived wealth.
Well, and look at it this way, the $16 trillion held outside the country, that's bonds. So bonds, so we really didn't print money, we printed money for bonds. So we have this kind of legitimacy, oh, it's in a bond. Oh, it's in a bond denominated in dollars that you printed. Oh, okay, that's worth something more than just dollars. And therein lies the problem. And therein lies the problem is that, yes, you're right about we cancel the debt. Our debt is money. We don't have capitalism. I don't know what we have. Fascism? I don't know what we have. Where people near
delusion, deceit, whatever we've got, it can't go on. This is like, Jesus, it's like a Hollywood drama or something. It's not real.
I got my family members, they think I'm crazy. No matter who I bring on, no matter what published author I bring on, no matter what I do, no matter who I bring on, no matter who I quote, and I just try to quote what's out there. I try to, I just try to put on the stuff that I can back up, which is outrageous. And what do we got?
I'll tell you two things.
And my family members won't believe me. They think, oh, I got my stocks. I get to keep my retirement. Well, I get to what? I mean, the government will never take my retirement. What are you talking about? They won't take my stuff if we. I don't owe any of that $17.5 trillion. I don't owe any of that $200 trillion that we have in terms of. I don't owe any of the $200 trillion we have in terms of.
Unfunded liabilities and everything else.
No, of course not.
Now, you think you don't, but the fact is, whether you do or you don't is almost irrelevant, because if you take $200 trillion, which Congressional Budget Office, my understanding, they said the national debt is a little over $200 trillion, including unfunded liabilities. Let's take
that
divided by the number.
That was Lawrence Kotlikoff, who did EAP GAAP.
Divided by the number of people in this country, and it translates into something like $700,000 in debt for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Listen, when you look at
it from that perspective, there is no way these debts are going to be paid, and that means all of the poor saps that are holding the correlative pieces of paper, and they say, ooh, I've got a bond, and it's worth $100,000, or it's worth $1 million or something. Guess what? They're going to lose 90% of their perceived assets.
They're going to lose all of it.
Well, they might. Some of them might come out. A few of them might work out one way or another, but it's going to be an incredible disaster. Let me tell you two things I'm looking at right now. I've got a friend of mine who does air conditioning repair. He's down here in Texas in the summertime. He's been in business 25 years or thereabouts, and he has no work. How can you have no work? This is the this is August in Texas. Everybody's busy fixing air conditioners for years. He's out of work right now. I know another guy who's got a sheet metal shop, and he's got a dozen or 15 people working for him, a lot of machines, very efficient, really good guy. He usually has 60 tablets on his wall, clipboards, all right, with each one of the jobs that he has lined up to take care of. Right now he's got about six. I'm looking at this, I'm looking at the number. They average 52% don't have $400 to call their own in terms of cash, and I'm saying, are we already in the depression? I'm not talking about, is the depression going to start next year or 6 months? Are we already in the depression?
I think we are.
Yeah, I do too.
I think we are, and I think people feel prepared for it, and they know there's something wrong, but my family members won't go on my site. Ooh, I don't know. Don't tell me that.
Can't grow on the palm of their hands.
I'm trying to tell you that you're in jeopardy, but okay, whatever. There's only so many people you can help, and some people you cannot help.
I understand.
Even my own family members are in some kind of just some funk of alternative universe reality where they just completely ignore all fact at all. And you, anyway, it's sad. If you can do something to help yourself, I mean, buying gold and silver, and I know you guys sell it, but I don't sell it. But buying gold and silver isn't for everyone. It's for people who can afford it and understand what they're buying and what they're buying it for. Some people should go buy a new set of tires for their car. Some people should go buy 10 cases of water and go buy some, 5 or 6 bags of rice and, stock up on toiletries. Some people should do that.
I agree.
Should do something. You should really do it all.
But you have to have some savings. That's the point. Whether you save it in gold or water or dehydrated food isn't necessarily critical. We can debate which one is best at some point, but you got to have something saved up. And we live in a world right now where almost no one has any significant savings, and that means you are in jeopardy, jeopardy, jeopardy.
Well, last thought I want to tell you, in the Mad Max movies, and you know what one of the themes in the Mad Max movie was, and this has got beyond people handing out gold and silver. It was Mad Max in this little thing in all the movies where he was looking for shotgun shells.
Yeah.
Now, that's how bad, where gold and silver was meaningless. Fuel, shotgun shells, I mean, how bad could this get? I do not know, but it's not going to be pretty. And this is the biggest debt ever in history. It is global. This has never happened in recorded history. How much should you repair? Take Bruce Lee's advice and say, when you're getting ready for a fight, you train every part of your body because you don't know what you're going to need. You don't know which part of it you're going to need. You don't know how bad the fight's going to be.
Yeah.
So you better do everything.
It's going to be particularly rough up front when it starts, and there's a significant possibility a lot of people are just going to disappear. They're going to wind up dead in a short period of time from starvation or from violence or disease. God knows what's going to happen, but worst case scenario, it's going to be a terrible situation. Greg, we're out of time. I want to thank you very much for being on the program. Always a pleasure talking to Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. If you have time, folks, visit USAWatchdog.com. Take a look at some of the videos, some of the interviews. Greg's got some great, great information. Thanks again, Greg. We'll look forward to talking to you another time. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank all of you folks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Greg, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.